Let me put it this way. I mean, I hope that his intervention has been effective. I don't want to make narrow party political points, but I think it has to be said that whilst Macron and Merkel were doing face-to-face talks, it was very sad to see that the Foreign Secretary's intervention had to be on Fox News. And I think that that is a byproduct of a long and unnecessary indulgence of Donald Trump that has been happening for too long by this government. I think that if you allow the new president to believe that that sort of behaviour is normal, then I think that your influence later is less.
But aren't you having it both ways there? Because, I mean, either you do get to go and see him face-to-face, and obviously Macron did, or you don't have that close relationship. You don't want to have the close relationship with Donald Trump, so this is the result of not having it.
Well, I mean, Boris Johnson didn't have face-to-face talks with the president, and the point that I'm making is simply that I feel as though our influence has been marginalised.
But the point I'm making is that our influence may have been marginalised because this government, and certainly your party, have been contemptuous of Donald Trump, and there we are.
No, I think that what was important was to make it clear from the outset, in a way that Boris Johnson didn't, that there was a real threat to the Iranian nuclear deal from the first day. I was in Parliament before the president was even installed, saying that I was very worried about the future of the Iranian nuclear deal, and Boris Johnson was saying that I was being over-pessimistic and that that wasn't what he was hearing from the administration. But let's park that, because I think that there's more important issues to talk about in relation to the Iranian nuclear deal and what is going to happen next.
Yeah, and on the substance of it, we're talking to Mark Regev, the Israeli ambassador to London, later on in the programme. They, of course, the Israeli government at least, among those rare foreign nations saying that what Donald Trump seems to be about to do is a sensible idea. What do you say to the Israelis?
I say that the Israeli intelligence comes from the late 1990s and the early 2000s, and it shows that the very last activity that they're able to prove was in 2003. It proved that the Iranians weren't telling the truth about their nuclear development, and that is the very reason why we needed to have a deal. All it does is that it proves that the Iranians did have a nuclear program, and the whole point is that this deal stops it. It does seem to me that what you should be saying to Mark Regev is it's been checked at the very highest degree by the IAEA, which is the world's independent experts. And James Mattis has also said, and he's the US Defense Secretary, that there's no question that the deal hasn't been effective. I mean, when I was in Washington last week and I was speaking to Republicans and Democrats, even the staunchest opponents of the original deal now said there isn't an alternative now. We do have to go with what we have agreed. And frankly, what's the alternative? I mean, the worry is that if we don't continue with this deal, what's going to happen?
Well, the alternative, the alternative is a confrontation with, and this is what the Israelis would say, with the Iran that we actually know to be there, a hostile, aggressive power, fomenting terrorism, doing all the other things that they're accused of doing. And actually, it's time to be honest with ourselves as much as with them about them.
I think that's right. I think we do have to continue to be honest about it. And I'm not here to defend Iran, but I am here to defend the Iranian nuclear deal, which is working. And all independent experts say that it is working, and there has not been any breaches of it. What we also need to do is we need to use that deal to open up further dialogue and further negotiations with the Iranians when it comes to their ballistics program and to their influence in the region. We need to have further engagement with the Iranians. We need to have it on the issue of Syria. But it isn't just Iran focused. We also need to be focusing on the influence of Saudi Arabia, for example. And what the question that needs to be asked of Mark Regev is, if we don't continue with the Iranian nuclear deal, what is the alternative? The alternative is presumably that the Iranians continue to develop their nuclear weapons program, which will then open the door to the United Arab Emirates or to Saudi Arabia to say, well, let us develop nuclear weapons as well. And what will we do? Are we going to we're going to allow them to develop it and then bomb them? Yeah. I mean, you know, I'm speaking on behalf of peace here, not on behalf of the Iranian government.
Change the subject to Europe. Big vote in the Lords today on the European Economic Area. This is the Norway option. They want, or some peers want, the government to explore that option, indeed to negotiate for that option. Labour officially saying that your peers should abstain. Some of them are angry about that. Some MPs as well poll saying that this is an opportunity for Labour to, well, do justice by all those Remain voters in London, for instance, who voted for you so recently. Why not do that?
What we want to do is we want to remain in the customs union. We don't want any faffing around with any of the nonsense that the government is coming up with in relation to alternatives to the customs union. We want to remain in the customs union, and we want to be able to negotiate a bespoke British deal when it comes to our relationship generally with the European Union, which will mean that we will remain as close as we possibly can.
Why not remain, though? What your colleague Chukwuemunu says, Labour MP Chukwuemunu, whether the UK stays part of the EEA, in other words, attached to the single market, is now in the hands of the Labour Party, because he says if this motion were to be won in the Lords, it could be won in the Commons as well, because quite a lot of Conservative MPs would support it. It is in the hands of the Labour Party. And I just suggest to you again, a lot of those people who voted for you, particularly in London, will be expecting the party to take that line.
Yeah, I understand that, and I have a lot of respect for people who are pressing us on this. But we've looked at the Norway model. I've been out there. Keir has been out there. The truth is that that model will not fit the British economy. You know, the Norwegian economy is very different to ours. We are the fifth largest economy in the world. We do need to have a British bespoke deal. That does mean remaining close to the single market. It's not that we want to kind of end up in the same place. It's just that the mechanism that is being put forward is simply one that technically we don't believe will work. And it's for that reason that we have differences with a lot of our colleagues with whom we have, as I say, a lot of respect and we have a great deal in common with. It's just that this particular mechanism is not going to work.
Emily Thornberry, thank you very much.
It's 60 minutes past seven. A £10,000 payment from the state for 25-year-olds and introducing national insurance contributions for people who continue to work beyond the state pension age. Those are two of the ideas in the Resolution Foundation's latest